This morning, God wants to talk about divine intervention. God said, it is intervention time. It is time I expose the enemy for exactly who he is. And as I expose the enemy, I expect you to destroy him on all sides. I love my children. I never, ever abandon them at any time. I am with you in the hard times, and I am with you in the happy times. I am the great encourager. Now, the dictionary word for intervention is the action of becoming intentionally involved in a difficult situation in order to improve it or to prevent it from getting worse. So God said it's intervention time, and he's going to do the intervening. Then the biblical divine intervention definition is, quite simply put, is when God steps in and changes the outcome of a situation. Basically, divine intervention is another way of saying miracle. People point to divine intervention when there is no other explanation other than God for how something turned out. Miraculous healing, people being in the right place at the right time, circumstances that protected someone from harm's way are all examples of divine intervention. Now, here's another biblical divine intervention is simply put. God intervening in the affairs of the world. Divine intervention can be God causing something to happen or God preventing something from happening. Atheists, agnostics, and these deists can find alternate explanations for even the most clearly miraculous events. In other words, people who don't believe in God say there is no miracle. They just start saying why things happen. But we know that when God intervenes, it is a divine miracle that he's doing. And an example of divine intervention is in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years this man laid by this pool, waiting for somebody to put him in the water. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. That was a divine intervention. Jesus came by, and the man wasn't put in the pool. Jesus just said, Rise up and walk. Now, God just told us that we are in a season where we will all need the divine intervention of God's mercy. There are occasions in every man's life when no one wants to help you. And David said in Psalm 27:10, When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There are occasions when absolutely nobody wants to help. Point two, there are occasions when those who want to help may fail. In Isaiah 49:15-16, God asked a question. He said, Is it possible for a woman to forget a sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the child of her womb? And he answered the question. He said, Yes, she may forget. The people that want to help may fail. Those who want to help may fail. But God will never fail you. Point three. There are also occasions when it is beyond the ability of man to help. In Isaiah 43:2, God said, When you are passing through the rivers, I will be with you. When you are passing through the water, it won't overflow you. He said, Even when you are passing through the fire will not burn you because I will be there by your side. We just read, number one, there are occasions when nobody wants to help. Number two, there are occasions when those who want to help may fail. And then number three, there are occasions when it is beyond human ability to help. In all these cases, you need divine intervention. Everyone needs divine intervention at one time or the other, and God is telling us today that He will intervene in our lives. And Luke 18:27 tells us, those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And Jeremiah 32:17, God said, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I want you to get that in your spirit. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God is asking you that same question today. Your reply should be, I heard somebody say no, and that was the correct reply. Nothing is too hard for God. I don't care what it is. God once told me that nothing's too big and nothing is too small that He couldn't do. The problem with the body of Christ is we don't believe that. And we get to trusting in flesh, and we want man or woman to do what only God can do. And then when nobody wants to help us, or really they can't help us, then we get upset with the body of Christ and we say goodbye. All right? Let's look at different areas of our life where we need divine intervention. Number one, our physical life. In Luke 5, the Bible tells us about a man who was sick by the pool of Bethesda. The Bible said he has been there for 38 years. There was no man to help him. But somebody came who is the help of the helpless, and that somebody is here today, and it's Jesus. We sang that song. I said, that's perfect for what I'm going to be teaching. No man or no woman wanted to help this man. In fact, somebody jumped in ahead of him when he was trying to get in. But then Jesus came on the scene. In Matthew 17:14-18, a man brought his son to the disciples. The disciples prayed. They wanted to heal the boy, but they failed. They tried, but they failed. And then somebody came who could never fail, and he set the boy free. And that same somebody who could never fail is here in our midst this morning. And that somebody is Jesus. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you have circumstances in your life that you can't deal with. Nobody can help you with them. God's trying to get your attention and saying, look to me. I'm your provider. I'm the one that's going to intervene on your behalf. Quit looking to man and to woman to do what only I can do. And when you look at Matthew 8:1-3, we have the story of the leper. His case is beyond what any human being can do. No human being could heal him. But then there is someone with whom nothing shall be impossible, and that is Jesus. And you know that Jesus healed the lepers. Amen. You know, and I'm hearing God say that same Jesus is here in your midst, and He wants to be the miracle worker in your life today. He's saying some of you need a divine miracle. And He wants to intervene in your life and give you that divine miracle that you have need of. All right? Your father may fail. Your mother may fail. Those who want to help may fail. The pastor may try and fail. But if you can attract the attention of Jesus, you'll be the next child of God to testify. Amen. Hallelujah. The only way we can have a true testimony is if Jesus does it. Amen. The second point is where we need a divine intervention is our financial life. What about money? What about the children of God who are so poor that they don't even know where they will get the next meal? When you look at 2 Kings 4:1-7, it tells us a story of a widow who was destitute, that they want to sell her two sons in order to pay a debt. And the husband is not around to help. The neighbors are very friendly. They love this woman, but they couldn't help because they were as poor as she was. So she ran to Elijah, and Elijah himself had no money to give to her. But God intervened and filled all her oil pots, did He not? He definitely helped her finances. People are hinting around to other people that they're broke or that they have a need. And so what they're doing is they're hoping that person will feel sorry for them and give into their bosom. They are not trusting God in any way, shape, or form. And really and truly, when you give people money, unless God tells you to do it, and you're feeling sorry for them, you're really tying God's hand, because God wants them to use him as their provider and not you. And, you know, I always think about the pastor's mother who, you know, had, what, 12 children to feed. And she would make everybody sit around the table every night, say a prayer. And the pastor would say, look around, say, well, there's no food on the table. Remember that story? And every night, somebody would knock on the door with a fully prepared meal, and they would eat their supper. Shambach. It was Shambach's mother. That is faith. That is trusting God to intervene. How many of you here today really have true faith where you can trust God to intervene and not looking for somebody else as your source? You pastors, you know, when you start churches, you know, unless God tells you to start them, you're going to have a mess. But if God tells you to start them, then he will supply. All right? That's one way you know if you're really in God's will, is if he's supplying the need. All right. This morning, as we quit expecting people to intervene, there is somebody here who can supply everything that you need, and his name is Jesus. And he just told you that he wants to, that he is here, and he wants to give you the miracle that you have need of. Number three is our marital life. When you look in the story, it's 1 Samuel 1, chapter 1, verse 4 through 20, we find the story of Hannah. Her husband loved her. He wanted to help her. He wanted her to have children like the other wife, but the husband was helpless. He couldn't help Hannah. The barrenness of Hannah was not due to her husband, because the other wife had children. The other woman in the house did not even want Hannah to have a child. She didn't wish her well. What about Eli, her pastor, the one who was supposed to be compassionate? He didn't even understand her problem. And when the poor woman was crying out to God, her pastor thought she was drunk. The husband couldn't help. The other woman didn't want to help. The priest didn't even understand. But God intervened, and you read the story, he gave her a child. Are you listening here this morning? All right, the fourth point is our spiritual life. In Matthew 6:15-28, the Bible says, there was a woman. Her daughter was being tormented by the devil. She carried the baby to Jesus. She said, Lord, help me. Let's get rid of her. She is too noisy. I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Jesus didn't answer, and the disciples said, Lord, let's get rid of her. She is too noisy. She wants to attract attention. She wants you to pay attention to her. Let's drive her away. See, their girl was under the torment of the devil. The mother wanted to help, but she couldn't, so she carried her to the God of the impossible, who is Jesus. Even the disciples said, let's just drive her away. She just wants your attention. How many times do you see that in the body of Christ? They think, well, they just want attention. We need to turn to Jesus at every turn. All right, let's read this story. There was a woman who was barren, and the pastor had prayed for her for several years. Nothing happened. Finally, the pastor asked her, he said, all the others that I prayed for, they are already mothers of children. What's your own case? And the woman told a story that when she was young, she was fooling around, so she became pregnant, had to have an abortion, which failed. She went to the hospital, and to save her life, they took her womb out. And so the pastor said, you mean you have no womb? The woman said, yes. Then why are you asking me to pray that you become pregnant? The woman said, but you are the one who taught us that with God nothing shall be impossible. Pastors, you better know what you're saying. From that day, the pastor began to run from the woman. Any time he saw her coming, he would run the other way. And one day the woman said, it's all right if the pastor's running from me. I will look unto God. I will take my eyes off the pastor. And that night she had a dream in which she was standing naked, and a man came through the wall, a huge man with the skin of an animal in his hand. She was so frightened she couldn't move. When the man got to the woman, he wrapped the skin of the animal around her and disappeared, and the woman woke up shaking. and sweating, but suddenly she knew that God had come to give her a new womb. Today she's a mother of children, not a child, but children. When nobody else can help, there's still somebody left who can do the absolutely impossible, and that somebody is Jesus. See, until she took her eyes off the pastor, she could not have her child, because he could not give her a womb. All right, on those words, let's just say this. Any miracle that happens through you is God doing the miracle. It is not you doing the miracle. You are just a vessel that has yielded to God, and God has chosen to work through. Do never get high-minded and think, look what I did. You did absolutely nothing. You are just the vessel that God is working through. If God was not doing it, the miracle would never happen. Are you listening here? Come on. This is where a lot of ministers fall. They want to be exalted and held in high esteem because of the miracles that happen in their ministry. But if you really read about the miracles that used to happen with the evangelist, the miracle, like with Benny Hinn. He was tied up in traffic one time, and he called his staff and said, I'm still tied up in traffic. They said, well, don't worry, because miracles are happening all over the auditorium. And Benny Hinn wasn't even in the service. See, God used Benny Hinn to hold the services, and God showed up, and God performed the miracles. And who knows? Maybe God made him be tied up in traffic. Maybe he was getting exalted. I don't know. But you know, maybe God held him out of that service just so people would see it wasn't Benny Hinn doing the miracles. It was God. All right? Many, many people, as I read about what they did, you know, in the years past, if you really read and look at what they did, it was never them doing it. It was always God working through them. Catherine Kuhlman, when she would hold her meetings, she wouldn't do nothing. She would just come out on the stage and talk a few minutes and then have the people come up and tell the miracles that were happening. She didn't touch them. She didn't pray for them. As she just held the meeting, God showed up and healed the people or did whatever he did to them. And all they did was come up and testify of the miracles. You know, we need to get our eyes on God and off of people and understand that if God doesn't show up, nothing's going to happen. The only way God's going to show up is if you're dedicated to God, walking in the Spirit, allowing him to move, and understanding that you are nothing but a vessel. Nothing but a vessel for him to work through. Here's a prayer for divine intervention in Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will tell the faithful acts of the Lord, of the Lord's praiseworthy deeds. I will tell about all the Lord did for us, the many good things he did for the family of Israel, because of his compassion and great faithfulness. He said, certainly they will be my people, children who are not disloyal. He became their deliverer. Through all that they suffered, he suffered too. The messenger sent from his very presence delivered them. In his love and mercy, he protected them. He lifted them up and carried them throughout ancient times. Never once did this person say that they did it. They said it was God that performed every miracle that happened in their walk with God. It is time, church, that we go back to the basics and we give God the glory. It is time that we understand that if it weren't for Jesus, nothing would happen. This morning, God wants to supernaturally intervene in your life. And he wants really to change some of your mindsets so that you'll be able to be a vessel of honor that he can work through. He won't work through a proud vessel. You have to be very humble and submissive to God in order for him to work through you. This is important that you Receive this morning. Because God does want to do a miracle in your life. But he can only do it if you give him all the glory. Let's look at some of the reasons why we need divine intervention. Number one, every great and outstanding achievement is life's answer to God's intervention. Number two, many wonderful dreams can only be fulfilled by God's intervention. Number three, men and women who had depended on their own strength had failed miserably. Number four, divine intervention puts an end to prolonged delay. Number five, divine intervention removes barriers of any kind. Let's stop there. Number four says divine intervention puts an end to prolonged delay. God's been telling us that in the wink of his eye, he's going to change things in our life. And see, this is divine intervention puts an end to, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And God said, overnight, in the wink of his eye, things are going to be changed. That's what you call divine intervention. Number five, divine intervention removes barriers of any kind. And number six, divine intervention prevents a person from dancing around the mountain without climbing up. You know, God said to me, you can go around that mountain as often as you want. And I'm waiting for you to quit. You know, he wanted me to climb the mountain, not go around the mountain. That was a divine intervention because when he told me that, I quit going around the mountain and I started trusting him. Do you understand? That was a divine intervention when he spoke that to me. Number seven, divine intervention brings you out of the pit of reproaches, confusion, and sudden death. Number eight, divine intervention makes your barren ground yield her increase. In other words, where there's nothing happening, everything will start happening overnight. Number nine, divine intervention makes your heaven to open and release her dues upon you. God said we walk in an open heaven. Didn't he say we're walking under an open heaven? Well, you don't look like you're walking under, I don't either, walking under an open heaven. So a divine intervention from God can pour down everything we need in an instant. Number 10, divine intervention makes you your cloud that is full of rain to pour it down. And number 11, divine intervention enables you to know the secrets behind what you are passing through and the solutions to them. In other words, when you're going through the storm, God talks to you and tells you he tells you before you ever start the storm that you're going to go through one to begin with. Then when you're walking through it, he tells you all the time what's going on in this storm, and then he tells you when it's going to end. That's divine intervention, because you don't know any of that unless God intervenes and talks to you. Number 12, divine intervention makes all stubborn enemies of your life to stop their wickedness and face the wrath of God. 13, divine intervention sponsors sudden miracles and elevation in your life like Joseph. Remember what happened to Joseph. Number 14, divine intervention makes you win any battle in life and destroys the enemies that have gained upper hands before now. Divine intervention makes you win any battle in life and destroys the enemies that have gained upper hands before now. God has been telling us that we are no longer have enemies, right? He's been telling us that our enemies are his footstool, that we need to quit doing the things we're doing and just go ahead and do the things of God. A divine intervention, if you will trust God and believe him, then a divine intervention is going to happen and you're going to see your enemies no more. Number 15, divine intervention removes sweat and struggles and hard bondage from your life. You know, you'll quit struggling to do things because God will come in there with a divine intervention and he's just going to remove all the barriers and you'll just waltz right through that thing. Number 16, divine intervention makes you to be celebrated where you have failed before. Number 17, divine intervention prevents you from dying before your time and brings back to life any good thing that had died which shouldn't have died. Like Lazarus, he shouldn't have died, and he died, and Jesus came by and called him back to life. Number 18, divine intervention makes your prayers turn to testimonies. It stops praying without answers. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I have no answers. Well, divine intervention will stop all that. Maybe you need to start saying, God, I need a divine intervention instead of all the praying I'm doing. Number 19, divine intervention will keep you from wasting your productive years. It will enable your ways to be smooth with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Read that one again. Divine intervention will keep you from wasting your productive years. It will enable your ways to be smooth. How? With the leading of the Holy Spirit. We cannot leave the Holy Spirit out of this divine intervention. All right, and let's talk about some divine intervention in the Bible. Mark 2, verse 4 through 12 tells us about the paralyzed man being lowered through the roof. Remember that story? They couldn't put him in through the door, so he went up and took the shingles off the roof. And Daniel chapter 3 tells about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And number 4 is, Exodus 14, 21 tells about the parting of the Red Sea. And Joshua 10, 13 tells about how the sun stood still for Joshua. That's just a drop in a bucket. If you read, you see divine intervention from page 1 to the end of the book. And God wants us now to go about bragging about the divine interventions in our lives. He doesn't want us to suffer. I'm hearing him say he doesn't want us to suffer loss anymore. He wants us to have one good testimony after another. And the only way that's going to happen is if we trust God this morning that he is the one that intervenes in our lives for us, and that he is going to give us the divine interventions that we need. Now, can you believe for that this morning? You know, I could sit here and tell you all this, but if you don't believe it, I've just wasted my breath and you wasted your time. God is the one who said it's time for divine intervention. It's not something Barbara said. It's something God said. So are you ready for him to come into your life and start changing things around the way he wants them and not the way you want them? Then God says, speak softly from this day forward. For I am with you, and you need not go to great elaborations to give my word. My son Jesus did not yell and scream my word. He just gave my word and allowed my word to do the perfect works in the lost and dying generation he was in. Those same words are still being spoken, and they are still anointed to do a perfect work. Perfect and complete works in all that hear and understand. If you are a minister of my gospel, then be like my son Jesus and allow my word to intervene in the most difficult situations. Never add to nor take away from my already written word. Let's go back to where Jesus said, speak softly. When he said this, I thought, what? You know, that didn't quite make sense to me. He says, speak softly from this day forward, for I am with you, and you need not go to great elaborations to give my word. My son Jesus did not yell and scream my word. He just gave my word and allowed my word to do the perfect works in the lost and dying generation he was in. So pastors, you don't have to try to make the people believe God's word. Do like Jesus, just go and softly speak the word. If they receive, fine. If they don't, fine again. It is not your job to try to force the word down anybody's throat. And this is what pastors try to do. They get, you know, sometimes I wished I could run back and forth across the room and sweat and yell, yup, 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 yup. But that's not me, all right? And so if that's not you either, you don't have to do all that. I did that one time. And everybody in the church said, oh, I wish you'd do that all the time. But God took me over and I was wandering up and down here just to preach it. He's never done it again. I don't know why I did it that one night, but he's never done it again. However God uses you, let him use you in that fashion. Do not try to be something you are not, is what God is telling us. You are who you are. And God works, he called you because of your personality, and he works through your personality. All right? I hope you're all getting this morning. All right. God said, never add to nor take away from my already written word. See, please don't add to God's word or take away. Please don't go and get a message together and use scriptures that really are out of context of what you're really trying to say. Use the scriptures that speak to what God is saying. And you have to believe every bit of the word. You can't take You just can't take what you like and throw the rest away. You have to use the whole word. And, you know, as I search around looking for different things and I read what pastors say, they really twist the word, don't they? They twist it to say what they wanted to say. That is a shame, because you're just leading your sheep right down into the pits of hell. Read the word the way it is. Use it in its right context. And I've even had people read where people would do sermons. I've read the sermon, and they've taken a scripture that, and they said that applied to what they were saying. No, it didn't. That was so out of context, it didn't apply for nothing. Know your word. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, and let God do the perfect work. It is true. God's word is truth, and it's powerful to the pulling down of strongholds in my people's lives. This is God speaking. Walk ye in the way of my word, and draw all men unto me. So God is saying his word is truth, and it is powerful to the pulling down of strongholds in my people's lives. The word will do that. It'll set you free. Walk ye in the way of my word, and draw all men unto me. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. How many of you sitting here this morning, you know that the Holy Spirit's telling you, don't you do that, but you do it anyhow, and you get in a whole lot of trouble. That's why when you're in my first marriage, when I didn't know what I know now at all about hearing God's voice. I was standing at the doorway ready to walk down the aisle, and I heard a voice say, don't walk down that aisle. I looked all around. I thought, who said that? Because I always went to church, but I never knew God spoke to you. And so then I took my first step, and I heard the voice say, don't walk down that aisle. But I walked down that aisle, and so I spent 40 years in a bad marriage. I can't blame the man. Can't blame God. My ignorance with not knowing that God spoke to you is why I walked down that aisle. Are you understanding this? The Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you in every area of your life, if you allow him to. So Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. If some of you were honest here this morning, you would say, you were getting ready to do something. You heard a voice say, don't do that. But you turned that switch off, and you did it anyhow. And you got yourself in a whole lot of trouble. And then you got mad at God. God already spoke to you. You're the one who turned the switch off. It was not God that quit talking. You just didn't want to hear that because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. All right? How many of you here today can believe that? How many of you here today can believe that, number one, God can intervene in any area of your life? Number two, God can do the impossible. Number three, God can intervene on your behalf no matter what the circumstance. Do you really believe that this morning? If you do, then God's going to start intervening in your life. And you're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles happen first of all in you. And then those signs, wonders, and miracles then will be projected out to others. If you need divine intervention in any area of your life, pray a prayer of intervention. And this is a prayer. The type that's in Mark 10:46-52, it says, you can read the scripture, Mark 10:46-52, but have mercy on me. The prayer of today is have mercy on me, not on us. Have mercy on me. When you're praying, you need to say, God, have mercy on me. Intervene for me this day. It's you that has the need. Are you understanding this? It's time. Well, then say, Lord, I am the one in need of divine intervention. Have mercy on me. God really wants to intervene in each one of your lives. Y'all know that I have sickness in my body. I've had everybody pray for me. I've had people send me emails saying, well, are you this? Are you that? Or the other? Do this, that, and the other? You know, unless God intervenes, it's not going to be taken care of. I know your faith is real. I know it's sincere. And I don't really understand why we have to go through this. But believe me, my faith is right up there. And I'm believing that God is already intervening. And I believe that the healing has already taken place. And I'm just waiting for the manifestation of it. I know I serve a God who intervenes for me constantly. And I know that no matter how dark the storm is, that God is always in the storm with me, intervening for me. I know that my faith level sometimes drops, but also know that I immediately get it back up there again. I know when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. Do you know all those things? And do you immediately turn his switch off, your Satan switch off, and turn your switch of faith back on again and start walking with God, expecting him to intervene in your life? God told me one time, he said, you know, daughter, everybody I've called into the ministry, whatever sickness they had when I called them, that's a sickness they died of. When God called me, I had cancer in my colon, and I had a couple weeks to live. And I was free of cancer until, what, about a year ago, 2 years ago? It came back, and that's when God reminded me that everybody he called that had a sickness, he healed it, but whenever he was getting ready to take them home, it came back in their body. But I said to God, I said, God, you promised me this, 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 and this. That has not happened yet in my life. And you tell me that my calling isn't finished, so I'm not going to accept the sickness back on my body. I'm trusting and believing that you are intervening. And I didn't know about, and you know, I didn't study this then, because this was a couple years ago. And I know that no matter what my body is saying, I know that you're already healed me. Because I cannot do the works you're calling me to do sickly. So I'm saying that to you to sort of build up your faith. It doesn't matter what Satan places on your body. If God has called you to do a special work, and so you trust God, you believe what God is saying to you, and you march on and you do what God said, and you trust God that he's already healing you because you can't do it sickly, and you watch God heal you. You know, really and truly, sometimes what God is waiting for is for you to build up your faith so you can be the first miracle. And then other people can follow your miracle. They can trust God that he is a miracle-working God. This morning, God is saying he is your Savior. He loves you desperately and completely. He's taught you about his divine intervention. And now he wants you to take that with you to a lost, dying, depraved world. And he wants you, first of all, to receive that divine intervention for yourself. Whatever it is you have need of, God wants to supply it right now. And then once you receive your divine intervention, then he wants to use you to preach his gospel to a world who lacks faith, who lacks hope, and they're destitute. And he's asking you a question, are you strong enough to stand this test of time and to go forth and be a vessel of honor that he can work through? All of you who need a divine intervention, if you really trust in God this morning that he's going to intervene and change your situation, he wants to do that this morning. If you want to come to the altar, I can guarantee you, my Father's going to touch you. And I serve the same God as you serve, the God in heaven who created all things. And he wants to touch you and bring you to that place of divine intervention. And he wants to restore unto you all the years of Palmer and Cankerworm have stolen.